Blog Talk Radio.
With prayers and
We're here to lift up the name of the Lord tonight. Amen. In each and every night that we're on. So God bless you to the faithful listeners that listen in, to the new listeners. Welcome. A minute or two, we're going to start the word here tonight. And Brother Gus, if there's something you'd like to share about the word tonight, then I'll go into a after we pray, I'll go into the recap of last week's program so the listeners who didn't get to listen last week can catch up where we're at. Amen. So God bless you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So, Brother John will give you guys the recap, but just to let you guys know that this is the conquest of Canaan, the people of Israel taking the promised land. And that's what we're going to be talking about throughout the study. That was talked about last week, where the people, where Joshua sent out spies. And then this week, tonight, we're talking about Rahab and her faith. And then we're going to conclude the last part of the study, the third part, about the two spies and what they represent today and in the days to come. Because what's important that we remember when we read God's word is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, so these things are not just written for great stories and for us to just read them and think how great people was a long time ago. Paul says that these things were written for our benefit. Yes, they're true stories, but we could still benefit from them today if we learn from what they did right and how they had faith and how they believed and how they trust. And we could also learn from the things that they did wrong. There's a lot of things we can learn from a man or a woman that made mistakes. You can consider those things, Proverbs says, and you could become wiser. So let's study tonight Old Testament, Joshua. And Brother John will give us some scriptures in the New Testament, how they contrast each other, how they go together, because it says that the old is in the new concealed and the new is in the old revealed. So let's just get into the word. Let's dive into it. Prepare your hearts and minds as we get into God's word. Just be receiving. Say, Holy Spirit, how can I be used tonight? And that's what mine and Brother John's hope is every night, that the Holy Spirit would use us. Because we don't know the answers to a lot of things that we study. We study God's word that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us how he wants to bless us and use us, and what are some of the answers. So God bless you guys. I'm going to turn it over to our brother, John D., and he'll tell you guys a little bit on what we did last week and what we could expect tonight.
Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, before we do that, let us pray before we share God's word tonight. And I'd like to have the listeners please pray along with us. Amen. Because we're not only praying for ourselves, we're praying for you as we pray. Because we're all here,
yes,
as students of the word tonight,
yes,
to receive something from the Lord. Amen. So let's agree together.
Amen.
Father God, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask tonight, Father God, if we said or did anything wrong, to forgive us, Father God. Wash us, cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Tonight, Father God, we ask, Father God, for a fresh new anointing of your Holy Spirit, Father God. Tonight, open up our spiritual eyes, ears, hearts, minds, souls, and spirits to receive your word, Father God.
Hallelujah.
And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word is mighty. Your word is living. Your
Hallelujah.
Word is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And Father God,
yes,
we give you praise, honor, and glory. Open up our understanding, Father God, to receive your word tonight. In Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. Well, praise God. You know, I'm just going to give a recap of last week's program. We're reading, our brother Gus was sharing from the book of Joshua chapter 1, and what the Lord told Joshua, he said, verse 7 says, be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand. wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Hallelujah.
And I want to stop right there and just share what the Lord gave me to share with the listeners last week. Was this, that God is a God of order. Our God is a God, he's systematic. A lot of times we do things, especially as home, that are just out of our character. We just go and do it in the morning. We really don't have a set plan, and we go out there and try to accomplish what we set out to do. But God's ways are not man's ways. God has a system. And as we talked last week, the Lord showed me this. First of all, he said to observe his laws and what's written in the book in the book of the law. And he's telling us there, if we go into New Testament or of today, he's telling us to be courageous and to observe what the Lord is telling us in the Bible, in the Word of God, to observe the Word of God, to follow it. And he's also telling us, number two, that we're to meditate on his Word. We're to think about it day and night. Don't let it depart from our mouth. We're to speak God's Word. And he's telling us that if we do these things, that we shall be prosperous, and we will have good success.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the recap of last week, is that God is systematic. He wants us to do things a certain way. He wants us to be obedient to his word, to follow his word. Again, I repeat, he wants us to speak his word, to share mm-hmm. his word, and to meditate, to think about his word. And then we become prosperous, and then we have good success, as the Bible tells mm-hmm. us. So I just want to recap that, and then our brother Gus is going to go into tonight's teaching tonight. So I hope that helped out a little bit to get you caught up on what you didn't get to hear, those who didn't get their program last week. God bless you, brother Gus.
That's perfect, brother John. That brings the readers up to speed if anybody missed last week. But if you heard last week, then tonight's teaching is just going to be just a continuation from that. So we're going verse by verse. We're not really skipping too many chapters. We're going from Joshua 1. Now we went through the chapter. We're going to Joshua 2, verse 1. We're not going to go through the whole entirety of the chapter, but we're going to give pretty much the basis or the foundation of what we want to start tonight with Rahab, the prostitute. Our brother John D. just read from us Joshua, but readers, if you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, or whatever you use to read, read Joshua 1, 8, and 9, what Brother John just read for us, because that's the key in the entirety of the book. Joshua's 24 chapters, and it's a fabulous book, and there's some great verses in there, there's some great chapters, and there's good stories. But Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That is probably the key verse in the entirety of the book. Now, if you go to Joshua 24:15, Brother John, if you have scripture in front of you, if you would read that for our listeners, you guys are going to be blown away by this. At this time, Joshua is about 120 years old. It's at the end of his life. And this is what he says: and may this scripture be so for every single one of us out there. And if you're not knowing Christ, may you come to know him by the end of this teaching or this message or what we're sharing to know with you guys. We will give the sinner's prayer. Brother John says it's the believer's prayer. I believe that. And you may come to know Christ. That's the meaning. That's the reason. That's the basis of why we're teaching. Not merely for scripture, not merely for head knowledge, but to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, Brother John, if you have that scripture, listen what Joshua says at the end of his life. Listen what he says about him and his family.
This is Joshua 24:15, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Okay. That last part again, Brother John, one more time.
It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right. Brothers, sisters, Kala Peo, Amara Frenorapo, Facebook, Sunen Kako, who's in your household, save them. We begin with our own house. So our house has to be in order for us to go out to other people's houses and share and bring the word to them and give the word to them. And Joshua went out and he conquered, and he did. And why did he conquer? He had the word of God. He meditated on it. And he, with his battles, that Jesus always went in front. You're gonna hear that tonight. And tonight's topic is all about faith. You're gonna see faith moves mountains. You're gonna see without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God. You're gonna see that Rahab's faith in James, what it did for her. So, if you guys are ready, we're going to pray, and we're going to dive right into God's Word. Brother John, did you pray for the Word already?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay, so let's get right into it. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from a town called Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now, before anybody's mind goes way off and be thinking these are godly men sent from Joshua, why did they go to this woman and she was a prostitute? Well, this woman you're going to see later on in Scripture that she was in the wall that was built in the city by the city gate. That's where a lot of trading went on and a lot of transactions went on. And it was very common for a woman like that. And the king knew all about it because he didn't condemn her at all. When he hears later on that the spies came there, he just simply asks, are they there? He never said, what are you doing? What kind of business is this? It was a normal thing. So the reason why they went there is because a lot of people went in and out frequently. So they probably wouldn't be noticed too much if they went and they hid there. So it was smart on their part to hide there because a lot of men went in and out of that home. Okay. Now, Jericho is the only city, fortified city, large city, that they're going to be coming up against. And it's the last thing between them and the promised land. What's in between you and heaven? That's the question tonight. Between them and the promised land, the land of milk and honey, is Jericho. City with walls. There was an excavation that went on back in the early 1900s, a German excavation, and they said the walls back in the time of the conquest of Canaan with Joshua were very easily could exceed 46 feet or higher. We're not talking about 5 feet walls like, you know, here, let me put my hand, you step and jump over it, and we'll get in one at a time. We're talking about a fortified city with walls that were 3 to 4 feet thick. 30 to 40 feet high. So I just want to let that sit with you guys a little bit before you guys, you know, start thinking, well, they took the city because they were 3 million people. No, the walls fell because God said so.
Amen.
So back to the text. Verse 3, then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered two men. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. Now, for some reason, the king found out in this big, large city, the king found out. And why? We're going to see again later on that the people were afraid, their hearts were melting, they were scared because they knew that the people were coming. They knew that the Israelites were coming. So somebody noticed them coming in. Obviously, they didn't get away. With all that was going on, this is what he found out. So he sent to Rahab, and he's asking this question. Now, this is what Rahab said. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, true, two men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when the gate was about to be closed, that's the city gate going in and out of the city, and when the gate had about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Verse 6, but she had brought them out to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. Verse 7, so the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know. Now, this is key to her faith. This is key to what we're about to open up in the scripture tonight. Okay? Verse 8, if you guys could just put your finger there and mark that, this is what we're going to be studying tonight about her faith. Now, she hid them. She talked to the guy and told them, hey, I don't know where they went, to the king, and then she comes back. Now they're safe. They're on the roof. She lied that they went out. Okay? But there's a reason why she's hiding these men. She knows something. She feels something. She heard something. So verse 8 is going to tell us all of what she feels. The Holy Spirit is going to give us what's in her heart and mind, this lady that's been degraded for a long, long, long time. Just been having a very bad life. Just by, you know, knowing that her name is Rahab, the prostitute, you know this woman had a bad life, a bad background. But see, that's what Jesus is all about, saving with people with bad backgrounds, right, Brother John? He's all about saving people
yes.
with problems and saving people that have issues. He said, I've not come for the Brother John, help me in the New Testament, what Jesus says about the sick.
Well, he said, I've come for the righteous, for the sick. But he said, that's for those that are well. He came for those who have a need, who have. See, Rahab was a woman who was an outcast. Actually, she was an outcast. That's where what Jesus came for, to die for the outcast. Amen.
Amen. So, you know what? I'll say that's me. I'm a person like that. At one time, I didn't know the Lord. At one time, I had nothing to do with what God wanted to do in my life. I was doing my own thing. I was in the world. But thank God that God saves sinners. He doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner because he brings them from darkness to light. And we're going to see that. Later on, Rahab is going to marry into the Israelites. You know I'm not giving away the story. Everybody knows the story. But we're digging in deep to see what it is exactly that God wants us to learn from all this. Brother John, we need a prayer request. I'm getting a couple of messages while we're reading here.
Sure.
And somebody's asking for a prayer request. There's a lady named Crystal that needs prayer. If you could remember that, or maybe just jot that down when we do the prayers later on. I got a couple of texts that we need to pray for. Seems like a young lady. She needs prayer. Her name is Crystal. So God bless you. We'll get to the prayers later on. So verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us. And that all the inhabitants, meaning all the people, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Meaning all the people that you've been coming through to get here are gone. You annihilated them. You killed them. They're wiped out. There are no more. And that's what she's telling them. We know what you guys been doing. That's why the people are so scared. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, what you did to the king of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, King Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and was no spirit left in any man because of you, for the Lord your God. Now, it's L-O-R-D there, all capital, meaning Yahweh, Jehovah, okay? That's why it's important that you guys read along with us so you can see for yourselves what the Holy Spirit's putting down in Scripture. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me sure sign that you will save alive my father, mother, my brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. Now that's important here, because you see, this woman already is receiving her salvation. She's making a deal with these people. And it's when we receive our salvation, what are we to do next is go out and save others. And that's what she's doing now. She's saving others. She's saving her family and her household. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's what she's doing. Now she knows, I'm going to make a deal with them. They're going to save me, and I want my family to be saved too. Now, isn't it right today that when you're saved, you would want to save your family too? It would not be wise if I'm saved and I say for my wife, Valerie, and my sons, Isaac, Chino, Jacob, Hercules, not to say nothing to them. Or if John didn't tell anything to any of his family, his nepotza, leskashea, borav. I mean, that would just not be, that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. That's not what we do. Get the word and hide it. Jesus gives the word and shares it. He says, go out, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Go out, proclaim the word, share the word, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're to do. And be bold about it. Look, she wasn't even sure that she was going to be saved. Now she's being saved and she's saving other people too. But you see, that's what faith does. Faith speaks, faith acts, faith walks, faith talks. You might not see it, but it's the strongest power on earth. Jesus says faith moves mountains. Look what she's doing. Okay. Verse 14. And the men said to her, our lives for yours, even to death, if you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Now notice the wording there, what the two spies say, when the Lord gives us, he did not say, if the Lord gives us the land, we'll save you. Okay, you see faith speaking? He says, we'll read it again. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord, you see, there's no doubt in their mind, these two men, that God has given them the land. He says, when the Lord gives us the land, there's no, well, we're not even sure if God is going to save this big town. We're not even sure if God is going to save you. We're not sure God's going to give it to us. He's saying, when he gives it to us, we'll save you. We know God's going to give us this land. That's why we're here. That's how faith talks. Faith speaks as it's already done. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall so that she lived in the wall. Okay, so later on it talks about, you know, leaving them down and going through, coming down the wall on a scarlet cord and all of that. But before we go any further, we're going to talk a little bit about faith and then we'll get back into the word. What is faith? Okay, here's a real quick illustration of what is faith. Faith is our spiritual muscles, that the more you use faith, the more God will give you because he sees that you're faithful. So if John is being faithful in the little things, God knows that he could be faithful in the big things. Therefore, if John is not faithful in the little things, then why would God ask him later on to do something bigger? He'll say to me, Gus, you didn't even do the little thing I asked you to do. So why would I do this? Why would you ask to do this big thing? Or how could you have faith in me to do this big thing when you didn't have faith for the little things? So therefore, now God is using John in a mighty, mighty way. And you believers out there, it's the same thing applies to you and to all of us. If we're faithful in the little things, we'll be faithful in the big things. If we want faith to move mountains, if we want to have faith and believe that our sons and daughters will be set free from addictions, problems, attitudes, whatever's going on, we need faith. And what is faith? It's trusting in Jesus for something yet has not been done. That's just believing that it will happen. So look at, turn with me, if you guys will, to Mark for a minute. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And look what it says here. It says, have faith in God. Okay? Have faith in God. Jesus speaking now, New Testament. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea. Now that's speaking to our mountains. Be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. There's the key. He says, believe that you have received it. So in other words, believe that you already have it, even though you do not have it yet. That is faith. Another illustration of faith would be, for instance, taking a step on the staircase with just one step there and without the rest of the staircase being seen. Knowing that God will provide each step as you walk. Because if you could see the entire plan, if you can grab it yourself, if you could feel it, that's not faith. It doesn't require faith to take something that's already there. But it requires faith to claim a city like Jericho when the walls are 40 feet high and say, yeah, it's ours. And, you know, she didn't say, well, how do you know it's yours? She was confirming that. She said, look at her faith. Her faith came because she heard. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God.
The word of God.
She heard all these things that was being done, and she believed them. So she had faith that when these people come, I can be saved. And her faith literally saved her. She had faith in God, Yahweh, L-O-R-D, capital. I hope you guys are receiving this tonight. This is a big word that God has given us in the Old Testament. And the key is just belief. It's not a matter of how God is going to bring the city down. That's not important. Joshua never said, well, Lord, what's going to be the plan here? I'm the commander and chief officer of 3 million Israelites. I need the plan. He never once asked the Lord, what's the plan? He just believed because God said, just believe. And march. He never told him, well, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it that way. God could have did it so many different ways. The Lord could have even took them around Jericho without even taking Jericho. But you know, if he would have took them around Jericho, guess what? There wouldn't have been no lesson of faith. If God doesn't take us through our Jerichos and through our problems, we won't grow. There's no faith to be learned. So James says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you go through trials and testing of various times, various trials, knowing that it produces steadfast love, joy, and it grows your faith. That's what these testings do. That's what it did to Abraham. That's what it did to Isaac. That's what it did to Jacob. And that's what it can do for you and me and Brother John and all the listeners that are out there. We want to grow. We don't want to be young, immature Christians all our lives. We want to be that from the start. We want, you know, I love you, Lord. I'm coming to know you. But we don't want to continue to be that 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years into our walk, into our growing relationship with Christ. We want to be adult men and women of God. We want to be armies of the living God, soldiers. And that's what Joshua was, and that's what Joshua is. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother John before we read from James chapter 2.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, I just like to share a little something about Jericho for a minute. You know, if we read in Jericho, we could go to the New Testament. Jesus talked about Jericho when he gave the story of the man who fell among thieves, and he talked about the man who fell among thieves, and he was beaten and robbed, and he was on his way to the Jericho road, and he was passed by Pharisees and Levites, and I just want to share there was a reason that they were walking on the other side. You see, these religious people didn't want to be seen because they were going to Jericho. Jericho was not such a spiritual city. As we read even back in the Old Testament here in Joshua 2, we can see that Jericho was not such a spiritual city. Walls, those walls were taken down because of faith in God. And sometimes we put up those walls because we live in a carnal flesh. And needs to take those barriers down, that we put up those walls down in our lives. And that's why he tells us, if we go to the one chapter before, as we shared last week, about speaking the word of faith, meditating on the word. As Brother Gus was sharing there, we need to believe the word and have faith that what we say will come to pass. And we need to look at this text on chapter 2 of Joshua in a spiritual way through the Holy Spirit eyes, and see that city Jericho is us, and we need to take down those barriers. We need to speak that word so those walls can tumble down in our lives, so that God can work through us. And as we see here, Jericho it was like a carnival atmosphere, something like a Las Vegas in today's in modern life. It was that type of city. It was highly populated.
Mm-hmm.
The word spread around that these men are in town, and they're looking for them because, like I said, the city provides a lot of revenue for the kingdom there. But see, God, like you said, he didn't go around the city. He went through the city. And see, because God has a system. He doesn't go around. A lot of times we want to take shortcuts in life. God doesn't take shortcuts. And he was out to set to do, he was set to do something miraculous through a prostitute here, Rahab. And because of her faith in God, well, we'll see here, as I know Brother Gus is going to be sharing this, that something great came out of this also. Amen? So God bless you, Gus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you see how powerful faith is? I mean, we think it's... I thought, okay, speaking for myself, that it wasn't too much of anything at all, because you can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't... It's not a tangible thing. It's not something that we can take a hold of. But in a spiritual way, you know, if we take those spiritual... If we take the blinders off for a minute and, you know, let us look through the eyes of Christ, everything that Jesus did on earth was all by faith. All his walks, everything that he spoke, he says, have faith in God. Oh, you of little faith. He believed. He just, everything that he did was from God. It was by faith. It was by believing. Jesus says you could do these things and more, and greater things. So look what it says here about Rahab, the prostitute. And the scripture is very detailed, that over and over when it mentions her name, that it does say prostitute, for us, the reader today, to know that this was a bad woman with a bad background, not just an unsaved woman, a worldly, carnal woman. But this is the type of people or person that Jesus came to save. If you're lost, if you're hurting, if you're torn and you don't know which way to go, and the world's pulling you one way and God's pulling you up, you don't know where to turn, Jesus has got a better call in your life. Jesus calls this woman out of Jericho from this bad life. She marries into the Israelites, and now she's in the Hall of Faith. In chapter 11, talked about, and it says, Hebrews 11:30 and 31, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for by 7 days. Now, Brother John just said that. He was talking about that earlier. Now, what walls do you need to bring down today? That's the question here. What is it that you're up against and you're trying to get past or trying to get through that you need to bring down by faith? Because, see, the disciples, the apostles in the New Testament, we know their scripture that they came back to Jesus and said, Lord, we couldn't cast it out. He said, well, some of things take prayer and fasting. Well, some things take more than just prayer. They take faith and works together goes, it says. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's see what Hebrews says about this woman. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because, here it is, she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Hebrews 11:30-31. So, she wasn't just kind, so it's not about good acts. That's not what the Holy Spirit's saying. Well, you be good to people, you get to heaven. No. The kindness is that she brought them in by faith, believing that she could be saved by hiding them and making a deal with them. See, it was faith alone. She didn't hide herself in her room and say, the Israelites are coming. I believe that I'll be saved if I just stay quiet because I believe that all that they did was from God. No. Faith and works together. James says, if you show me your faith and I'll show you my works. See, it doesn't go. They work together. She stepped out in faith. Let me take these men. Let me save these men if I can. She could have died doing this. If the king of Jericho would have found that woman hiding these men, he would have killed them and her. Believe me, they could have done without one less prostitute in Jericho. But here's another thing. He could have thrown them in the fire. She knew how they treated people that disobeyed the king. But she knew that I have to do something here. That wasn't an easy thing for her to do. Look how soon as she hid them or hid them, the king came. Believe me, she was scared. So here's my point. Is it scary stepping out in faith? Yes, it is. Peter was so scared. He sunk in the water as he was walking. He fell down. Then he looked at Christ again. You know, having our faith in Christ, that's a picture of walking above our problems. He was walking on the waves. The waves is the picture of our problems. But when he set his eyes on Christ, you know what? It's not about fear anymore. It's about obedience, believing. Those things are still there, but guess what? Now we're looking at Christ, and that situation goes from a storm to a calmness, to joy, to just seeking Christ. So it's not a matter of, well, I got all these problems, let me just pray and maybe I'll feel better. You know, the problems will still be there after we open our eyes after prayer. What am I saying is God can turn that problem around by faith, by prayer. That's what we're saying here. She still had a problem after she hid the spies. She was still in Jericho, right? She was still a prostitute. It's a process. It's faith and works together. And that's how, you know, we get through these things. So look what James says. James 2:24. And I'm going to give you guys a chance, and me and Brother John is going to discuss Rahab here for a minute. James, if you guys want to turn there, James 2:24-26. I've been doing a little bit of study, Brother John, this last, I'll say about 4 days before radio station. And there's a lot of women in the Bible talked about that, like Mary, that were, you know, significant women. Mary's one. Rahab tonight is another one. Let me see who was another one. Oh, we hear about who was it? I'm sorry. It was Mary Magdalene. She was with the other Mary all the way through. There's a lot of big women in the Bible, but there's not too many women that's talked about that had great faith. Word is the faith. And that's what gave them Jericho. That's what gave them the promised land, having faith. The walls came down not by their numbers, not by their arrows or their whatever you want to call it, their battle forces. It came down by faith. The walls came down by faith. We read that. So if you guys are there at okay, Brother John, I'm sorry. We was going to discuss Rahab a little bit. Can you bring up something that you like to mention about Rahab? There's so many different themes in so many different parts of the Bible about her.
Well, we got about 9 minutes left in the program, but you see, I just want to share with the listeners today. Rahab was a woman of faith. God used her in a mighty, mighty way. He used a lot of women who the world saw were as downcast. Women that even the world didn't want to deal with, but God used them because God is a God of love, compassion, and He's a God that's able to forgive sins. And we're going to show that how loving this God that created the whole universe. You could look out your window, look at the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon, and that Creator wants to deal with you. And I'm going to leave it at that for right now because we're short on time, because Brother Gus has a scripture to share, and then we'll go back to it. God bless you, Brother Gus.
James 2, 24 and 26, we'll try and get through just real quick. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And what was the works? Her hiding them, her telling the king that they was not here. Is God condoning lies? No, but she had good intentions. And in the same way, was not Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So you see, it's faith and works together. So it's not just enough for us to say, I have faith. But when we do have faith, or believe that God is going to do something in faith, we have to also take that step of faith. We see clearly her steps of faith. What would be our steps today? Well, I believe that I can be set free from alcohol, for instance. Let's say I've got an alcohol problem, and I can't stop drinking. I keep going to bars every night, every other night. Well, I say, Lord, I have faith that you can, you know, stop me from drinking. I don't have the strength to do it. So I have that faith and say, Lord, not only do I have the faith and believe that you could stop me from drinking, but I will not go to a bar anymore. I will not watch anything that might, you know, your mind, your body has to start walking and talking a different way. So there's your works. But the faith works together with that. I mean, you can't have faith and say, Lord, I know you're going to stop me from drinking and drive around a bar all day, or go in a bar and say, I know the Lord can make me not drink if he really wants to. I mean, that just does not make sense. So the last scripture for tonight, and we're going to come bring this to a close. This is going to be our last scripture because Brother John wanted to bring something up, and then we do have a prayer request. I've got a couple of 2-3 texts from the same person that's requesting prayer, so we are going to get to your prayer, brother. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? Jesus, God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So what is the scripture saying? You can't please God without faith. It's not possible. Having faith in God pleases God. It's showing God that without them seeing me or touching me, they believe that I will do something. It's opening up heaven. It's taking a step towards heaven when you believe in Jesus, who we've not seen. Jesus says, blessed are you who've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. That's us. Because we didn't walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago. The apostles did. We're walking with Jesus today and we don't see him. If he's still walking amongst us, yes. We believe that by faith. So God bless you. I'm going to close with that tonight. We're going to have the part of it, which is the last part, the two spies, what they represent, what they did next week, and we're going to close out with that. God bless you, Brother John.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Praise the Lord. I'd like to just share with the listeners out there tonight, whatever you're praying about, pray with faith, believing that you already received it. That's how it starts. Confess it with your mouth. Don't say, well, I've been praying for that, and I just don't know what's going to happen. He doesn't want that. He wants us to confess that it's already done. If you need a healing out there, if you need a deliverance out there, or you need a financial blessing, whatever it might be tonight, I don't know if God does. He hears you. And we're going to go. We're going to go to prayers in just a minute. But I like to do something very important here. The same God, as I talked about, that created the heavens and the earth, the whole universe, created you and me, created everything, the seas, the grass, the trees. He wants to talk to you on a personal level, and he does. Even going back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says this. This is the kind of God that we serve. He's a living God. He says, come now and let us reason together. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they shall be as white as snow, though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing, verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. See, this God that we serve, he wants to reason with you today. He wants to make a deal with you today. He wants to blot out your sins. And he's able to do that because of what Jesus done on the cross. If you need a Savior, if you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, come and reason with the Lord. The Lord's speaking to your heart tonight. Say this prayer tonight. And mean it with all your heart. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight as a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Tonight I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and wash me in the blood of Jesus. I confess that Jesus Christ died for me and rose on the third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for saving my soul. I confess that you are now Lord and Savior of my life. Give me the strength to walk with you, to pray with you, to read your word each and every day. I thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if you said that prayer, you meant that you are born again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Read the word of God. Go to church. Pray, fellowship with believers out there. So thank you. God bless you tonight. I'd just like to share something, too. We need to pray. We have some prayer requests. I know that Brother Gus had one from Crystal tonight.
Yeah.
Also, I received one earlier from a sister named Helen over on Facebook. Okay. If there's anything else, Gus?
No, this one is from... It seems like a very young lady, like maybe a 20-year-old, lady. I got a text from a good friend of mine, and she's in surgery right now, and it's eye surgery, saying that it's possible she could go blind. So her name is Crystal. She's in surgery right now, and if you could pray, lift her up in prayer, that would be good.
Yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we lift up our sister Crystal before you, Father God. Father God, Father God, we ask for complete healing on her eye, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, in her eyes, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask, Father God, that you put peace upon her, that you guide the doctor's hands. And Father God, we thank you for a complete recovery, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father
yes.
God. And we know that this is going to be a testimony unto you, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And Father God, we lift up our sister Helen, who asked for prayer, who needed prayer. We don't know what the situation is, but you do, Father God. Meet this
yes.
need tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put peace upon our sister tonight, Father God, knowing that you are in charge, Father God, that you're the healer, the deliverer, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus, and provider in Jesus' name. And Father God, tonight, to those who need a financial blessing, Father God, we speak blessings upon them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Those who need a physical healing, Father God, in Jesus' name. Heal the sick, Father God, in Jesus' name. And also, Father God, tonight, Father God, those who are looking for an answered prayer tonight, Father God, increase their faith tonight, Father God. Father God, let them speak it out. Believe it in their heart. In the name of Jesus, and it shall come to pass, Father God. Meet each and every need tonight, a hedge of protection on each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen and amen. Well, we want to thank each and every listener. I want to thank our brother Gus tonight, as always, great word. Join us next Friday night. You're welcome, no problem. And I just want to invite you next Friday night at 11 o'clock East Coast time. We'll have part 3 on the book of Joshua. We'll be talking about Rahab again and so forth. So invite some friends, family members next week from Gypsies for Jesus Radio. We want to say good night. God bless you. And we love you. But most of all, God bless you. God bless you.